Morton Rick.
I didn't really have a lot to comment on that.
Andy and Sunday have crashed! They've got into each other!
I wasn't listening. No idea what you were speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds off the back of a Grand Prix, and we've got three in a row coming our way. We've got a triple header, so we've got Mexico coming up this weekend, then straight into Brazil, then straight into Qatar. We're getting to the exciting bit of the season now where we get into the final few races, and I love a triple header. I've missed these. When we had a few of these in the summer, I was like, well, this is nice. Like every weekend, there's some sort of Formula One on. So I'm very excited about a triple header coming up starting this weekend in Mexico.
Yes, Mexico, a lovely circuit. They've got that massive spectator area towards the end of the lap, which is the old baseball stadium that they go through. They've got one of the longest start-finish straights on the Formula One calendar, and that leads into a very tight right-handed turn one. We've seen accidents and collisions there in the past, and no doubt this weekend will be no different.
Yeah, like you say, great circuit. It's very high up as well, isn't it? So the engines struggle a little bit here because they don't get as much air as they do at some circuits. So it's always quite interesting if you get a few breakdowns or a few cars that are slower because they're not getting air. But yeah, the baseball section is absolutely brilliant. And there's a few circuits on the calendar now that are just really good for spectators. And we were literally just talking about this before we started the podcast. The Netflix effect has been really good, I think, for Formula One. And that's kind of opened up all sorts of stuff to the fans. There was 400,000 American fans at the Texas Grand Prix. I think the year before that, or the year that they last did it there, was about 250,000. So a massive, almost double the audience. And they reckon this is, they're calling the Netflix effect. And it's having quite a few changes. They've announced a few changes for next year as well, which are kind of like we were just saying just now. I feel like the Netflix effect is kind of teaching the F1 head honchos that they need to be more transparent. They need to show more behind the scenes stuff because that's the stuff people like. At the end of the day, we love reality TV. We love a bit of drama. You know, and I think everybody likes to see the behind the scenes stuff. And I know Ben Stiller was saying, you know, I sat in on a few of the briefings and I can't believe what they say and what they do in these briefings. Now, obviously, they can't show everything because then that will put the teams on the back foot and the teams will be like, well, we can't have all our secrets on the telly and stuff. But the more of this kind of stuff they can show, I think the more casual fans will watch and be very interested. And I think you'll get fans that are kind of on the fence going, do you know what? Formula One's really good again because they're so open and they're showing so much stuff now, which I think is exactly what it needs.
Yeah, definitely. So next year, we know they've got the big rule changes coming next year, which is designed to make it more exciting to watch the actual race with more overtaking manoeuvres and cars able to follow each other much better than they currently do. And now they have announced that they're going to condense the weekend. So at the moment, they do a media day on a Thursday, which is where they do the driver press conferences and the interviews, and they do the run-of-the-mill stuff with the media and all that stuff. Now, from next year, they're going to push all that to the Friday, so it'll basically be a more compact weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, give the teams more time to set up. Means they won't necessarily need to arrive at the circuits on a Wednesday, which they traditionally do. Now they'll be able to arrive on a Thursday. And if you take all of the races and the whole calendar into consideration, having that extra day gives the crew a lot more time to recover between races, which is a good thing. But on the Friday, they're going to do these show and tell sessions in 2022. So the teams will be explaining their latest car updates directly to the media. So not only will they be telling the FIA what they've changed or tweaked on the cars, they'll also be giving us an insight as viewers into exactly what they've done. So they've replaced a rear wing, for instance, or they've changed the wing angle on the front, or they've fitted new brake ducts. All of those sort of things will be explained on camera by the team members who are responsible for those tweaks, and we'll get to see a little bit more of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we all love.
Yeah, a couple of hours ago as well, they announced that they're targeting 6 sprint races for next year, for 2022. And they're also saying that points-wise, obviously you get 3 points, was it, for a win, 2 for a second, 1 for a third in the sprint races. They were saying there was originally meant to be a lot more points for these sprint races, but they wanted to kind of trial them out and see how they got on. They're talking about having a third of the normal points for a sprint race and having, like I say, 6 sprint races instead of 3. So again, stepping all that up, which will be interesting for next year. But this is all kind of, like we said before, the Netflix effect of, you know, let's show and tell, let's get everything out in the open, let's show stuff to the media that we don't normally show them, and to get the audience excited that way. The downside to that, as we were just talking about off the podcast, was Max Verstappen has thrown a bit of a wobbly and said that he did some interviews for Netflix last season, and apparently they asked him some questions and then edited it so that it looked like a different question when he gave his answer. And he was like, I'm not prepared to get involved in all that. That's, you know, that's changing my answers. That's dramatizing it too much. That's not for me. So I've told Netflix I won't be participating this year. So apparently Max Verstappen won't be doing Drive to Survive for this season because of that. So it's interesting that it's almost gone full circle. It's kind of ignited a lot of interest in Formula One. A lot of fans are getting excited because they're seeing all this behind the scenes stuff. But then the flip side is the drivers are starting to get annoyed that it's all being dramatised a bit too much and they're not liking that side of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Drive to Survive effect has been enormous. A friend of mine in Canada phoned me and said, I haven't bothered with Formula One for about 10 years. And then I watched an episode of Drive to Survive and suddenly I'm hooked to the sport all over again. And I think that difference that show has made to casual spectators has just been enormous. I'm looking at a really interesting comparison chart comparing 2020 to 2021 and the drivers and teams that have made the gains and the drivers that have made decreases in their performances. So looking at this, after 17 races in 2020, Max Verstappen had 214 points. After 17 races this year, he's got 287.5. Hamilton last year, 347 points at this point in the season. This year, 275.5. And the chart goes on to include Sergio Perez, Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, all making big gains on this season compared to last season. And this is the one that I think is very telling. Race wins. In 2020, Max Verstappen had two up until 17 races into the season. Lewis Hamilton had 11. This year, Hamilton's had just five, and Max Verstappen's had eight race wins. And pole positions, at this time of the season last year, Max Verstappen had just one. This year, he's got nine. Last year, Hamilton, 10 pole positions up until this point. This year, just three. So it's amazing to see the comparison in the performance. And I read an article that a motorsport correspondent had put up saying Lewis has never seen competition like Max Verstappen in 2021. He's never had opposition like that in his entire Formula One career.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously getting in his head. And we've spoke before about the mental game, and Rosberg obviously played the mental game against Hamilton in 2016 and eventually beat him for the world title that year. Hamilton has come out in the last couple of days and said, you know, Max is a great driver and he's doing very well, but he's in his sixth season in Formula One. I won my first world title in season number two. So he's starting to play the reverse game of, well, you know, I was much better because I got mine in the second season. I mean, he very nearly won his rookie season, didn't he? Yeah, he was only a couple of points off winning his rookie. I mean, imagine winning the world title on your first season in F1. That'd be insane, wouldn't it? But yeah, it's interesting that Hamilton started to play those mind games back towards Max as well. I think the difference is Max just seems so incredibly laid back, like nothing seems to bother him. Even this Netflix thing that we were just talking about, it's almost like he's gone, listen, you edited me, that wasn't the answer I gave, I'm not taking part in this next year, I'm done, see you later, and just walks off. But he's happy as Larry with that. It's not affected him, it's not annoyed him as such. It's just gone, well, listen, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, so I'm not doing it, I'm out, see you later. And I feel like that's kind of his driving style as well. He's mentally very mature. And it's just incredible that, you know, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's got a team like Red Bull and he's just taking it all in his stride. You know, he's just literally just driving each race weekend as it comes, trying to get as many wins as he can under his belt. And of the two, Hamilton feels the more rattled one to me.
Yeah, because I don't think Hamilton's had the competition before. Obviously, Nico Rosberg beat him in 2016 to the World Championship. So that's probably the nearest that he's had before Max came along. I think if Max had the car underneath him that he does now 2 years ago, he probably wouldn't have coped with the pressure because he was a bit immature back then. We saw him have the clash in the Brazil race a couple of years ago with Esteban Ocon, where he went over and pushed him and stuff after they'd parked up after the race because Ocon had taken him out whilst he was leading. You know, that Max Verstappen doesn't seem to be with us anymore. We've got this, like you say, the very mature driver, great head on broad shoulders, and he's getting on with it. He's taken a few knocks this year when he was taken out in Silverstone, for instance, leading the race against Hamilton. You know, he made it known that he wasn't happy, but he seemed to cope with it really well. And the next race just came back and looked even stronger.
Yeah, and of course, we've got hot races left now. Lots of them. Mexico's hot, Brazil's hot, Qatar's hot, Saudi Arabia's hot, Abu Dhabi's hot as well. So it's literally hot, 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 hot to end the season now. So it's going to be fascinating to see who's got the best car in these heated conditions. It really does seem that, you know, we've mentioned this before, the Ferrari and the McLaren and probably the Alpine to an extent, they're very track specific. Certain tracks they're very good at, other tracks they're absolutely nowhere. And it does seem a little bit like that with the Red Bull and the Mercedes. Probably the Mercedes more so struggles at tracks. You know, they've never struggled at this track before, but they have this time. And it's just been very interesting this year. They've had a few power issues and they've had to change a lot of components on the car and stuff. And it just feels like mentally the Red Bull team slightly have the edge to me. And I think Hamilton, again, knows that. And he knows that he needs to kind of win as many of these last races as he can. And it's all down to this final point, you know, the fastest lap. That means a lot as well, because they're only a few points apart, aren't they? So every time they get the win and the fastest lap, you know, they're getting that one extra point, which could be the difference between winning and not winning the title at the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, as you say, these final races, there's a bit of unknown in there. Obviously, we haven't raced at Qatar before, and we haven't raced at Saudi Arabia before. On paper, Saudi Arabia looks like it's going to be a track that the Mercedes car will like, because it's very, very fast. There's only two slow corners on the circuit, and the rest of it is really fast, high-speed turns, which we know the Mercedes likes. The Red Bull tends to favour those slower speed corners. And we're going to get a lot of that in Mexico this weekend, because although we've got that long straight, the infield section is fairly slow. So the Red Bull car should like that, whereas the Mercedes will like that long straight because of their engine power. Qatar is quite a twisty circuit with a mixture of medium and high speed corners. So again, will that suit Mercedes more than Red Bull? It's a bit of an unknown. I think Saudi, though, will suit the Mercedes down to the ground. It's a bit like Silverstone, but even faster in places. So I think the Saudi track's going to be very interesting. And of course, you know, if Max Verstappen wins this weekend and then Hamilton wins in Qatar and Hamilton wins in Saudi, you know, we're going to have a grandstand finish. We're going to get to Abu Dhabi, and they've tweaked the track to make it easier to overtake, because we've had a few boring races there. It's going to be a grandstand finish. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, they're going to be very, very close on points, whatever way it goes. I do think potentially the season could be won now by either an engine failure or a crash that takes one of the two out. Obviously, if they crash and they take each other out, that's dream scenario for both of them, because they're on a level playing field then. So if they take each other out, it's no gain for either. But if one of those drivers, if they hit each other and one driver is affected and ends the race and the other driver goes on to finish the race wherever they finish, you know, that's a huge game-changing moment in this World Championship. But it's going to be fascinating these last few races. I feel like they've calmed down a little bit. They didn't clash in Texas, obviously, but I feel like they can start the race neck and neck, and They're a little bit calmer on the start line with each other. Whether that goes on to the end of the season or not, I don't know. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating finish this season.
Yeah, I noticed that Toto Wolff is upping the ante with the press. He did an interview with the Daily Mail. He said that even a superstar driver has to respect team values. But Lewis has been with us for 8 years. He's not arrogant. He's not a spoilt little kid, which sometimes comes across when he's frustrated after races don't go his way. He said, but deep down, he said, we've had a relationship since 2013. He's not like that at all. He just wants to try really hard to make everything right for him and for the team. But he has said that he doesn't want to be in a situation as he was when Nico Rosberg was teammates with Hamilton, because they, in that 2016 season especially, they absolutely hated each other, and it made for a really frosty atmosphere at team briefings and meetings. He's saying when George Russell comes in next year, George knows that he has to play the respect game with Lewis, and he's sure that he will. And from looking at George Russell, you think, yeah, I mean, the kid's going to just get on with the job at hand, and he's going to be immensely respectful to the team and to Hamilton.
Yeah, and again, though, you look at that and you go, you know, are they warning him already? Are they already saying, you know, we're not going to put team orders in, but just bear in mind your teammate's a multiple-time world champion, you know, statistically on paper, the greatest of all time. Just remember that, keep that in the back of your mind. It's almost a bit of early unnecessary pressure of, you know, just don't get too racy, don't get too clever. And that will be in the back of his mind, won't it, George Russell, where when he did the last race where he deputized for Hamilton, he had nothing to lose. It was him versus Bottas. And he's like, look, if I can beat Bottas here and if I can win this race, which he very nearly did, if it wasn't for the car, he would have probably won that Grand Prix. You know, but he was just all about showing off there of what can I do when I'm in this car? And let me show you how good I am. And let me show you that I need this seat for next year. And he made Bottas look very average in that race. Is he going to have the same ability to do that with Hamilton? You know, is he going to, let's say he starts the season and wins the first Grand Prix. Is it going to be a bit like, you know, you've got to respect your teammate. Are they subtly going to kind of try and slow him down a little bit? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating next year as well. But, you know, we've got a great end to this year. We've got a brilliant season next year with the rule changes. Some of the drivers moving, some of the drivers staying. But, you know, with these rule changes, it's going to be fascinating next year as well. It's just such a good time at the moment for Formula One.
Just one thing ahead of this weekend. Max Verstappen has been in bed for 4 days with a very heavy cold. It was checked and it's not COVID, so that's good. But Marco has given him the all clear and a clean bill of health to race this weekend. But obviously, recovering from that heavy cold and spending 4 days in bed, obviously that's not the best preparation to be flying to Mexico with the high altitude and the lack of oxygen in the air. It's going to be a difficult and stressful race for all of the drivers because it really takes its toll.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it's a very high circuit, no air at all. It's very hot in Mexico. It's dusty. It's going to be an interesting race. But I still think Max is one of these guys that even when he's on the back foot, even when he's had a bit of a cold or he's not well or he's not 100%, he still gets in that car and just drives the absolute wheels off it. Most of the Formula One drivers do this, but I think Max is one of the better ones for it. And I think he's going to have a very good race weekend this weekend again.
Let's just go through some of the timings for this weekend. Obviously, our clocks have gone back and Mexico's well behind us on the old Greenwich Mean Time scale. So Thursday, if you watch Sky Sports F1, the F1 show is at 10 p.m. The driver's press conference, 11 p.m. UK time. Friday, practice one at 5 p.m. Practice two at 9 p.m. Qualifying on Saturday will be live from 8 p.m. And the race on Sunday, the lights go out at 7 p.m. Sunday evening. So if you've got a busy one with the family this weekend, you'll be able to relax with a nice glass of red wine and watch the qualifying and the race itself on Saturday and Sunday evening. And talking about Mexico and the Grand Prix this weekend, let's get the latest stats from our pro stats man, Nicky. He's from @LightsOut, which you can follow on Twitter. Fascinating facts before and during every race weekend. Here he is with everything you need to know about the Mexican Grand Prix this year.
Hamilton or Verstappen could become the driver with the most wins at the Mexican Grand Prix. A 60-year-old record could be broken, and Mexico could have its 10th consecutive different pole sitter. Here are the statistics to look out for at the 2021 Mexican Grand Prix. First up this week, no driver has won more than 2 World Championship races in Mexico, but that could change this weekend as both Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen go for their 3rd Mexican Grand Prix win. Jim Clark, Nigel Mansell and Alain Prost all also won the event twice. In addition, Clark won the non-championship 1962 Mexican Grand Prix in a shared drive with Trevor Taylor. If Hamilton is victorious this weekend, he'll become only the 2nd driver to take back-to-back wins at the Mexican Grand Prix. The only other driver to have done so is Max Verstappen, who took consecutive victories in 2017 and 2018. Since Formula One returned to Mexico in 2015, no driver has taken more than one pole position at the circuit. Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Daniel Ricciardo or Charles Leclerc could end that streak. If any driver other than those 4 take pole, they'll become the 10th different pole sitter in the last 10 races in Mexico. Meanwhile, if Leclerc takes pole position, he'll become the first driver to take consecutive pole positions at the Mexican Grand Prix since Ayrton Senna in 1988 and 1989. Next up, a win for McLaren, Williams or Mercedes would see them set a new record for most team wins at the Mexican Grand Prix. All three teams are currently tied with Lotus on 3 victories apiece. At Mercedes, both Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton could score a record-equalling 4th podium finish at the Mexican Grand Prix. The record for most podiums at the event is currently shared between Jack Brabham, Denny Hulme, Ayrton Senna, Ricardo Patrese and Nigel Mansell. And finally, Max Verstappen could break a record that is almost 60 years old. Jim Clark has led more laps at the Mexican Grand Prix than any other driver. He's the only driver to have ever held this record. Clark led the inaugural World Championship Mexican Grand Prix in 1963 from start to end and would go on to lead 191 laps at the track in total. Verstappen will overtake Clark's unbroken record should he lead 54 laps of the race on Sunday.
Nice one, Nicky. You can follow him across the race weekend, of course, as always, at Lights Out is where you can find him on Twitter. Some brilliant stats and facts across the race weekends and non-race weekends as well. He's just throwing stats and facts out all the time. Well worth a follow. Get involved. So the Mexican Grand Prix this weekend, I feel like Hamilton is going to maybe get pole. I feel like he's going to come back and we're going to get a little bit of a swapsies there. But I feel like Max will get the lead into the first corner. I feel like it's going to be the opposite of Texas. I don't know why. But I feel like Max is going to get the lead, and I feel like Max will lead a lot of the race. And I do feel like Max is going to get another win, you know, in Mexico.
Yeah, I do. I think Red Bull have always been strong at this circuit, even when they haven't quite had the power in the car that Mercedes had. So I think Max Verstappen for the win, pole position. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be surely between Max and Lewis. I also think McLaren are going to do quite well at this circuit this weekend. And the jury's out on Ferrari, really, because they have made gains throughout the season. At the start of the season, there were certain tracks that they just didn't perform at, but they've evened that out towards the end of the season. So they could be a threat as well. So I think it's going to be a fantastic race, and I can't wait for it.
And you know what we're due, what we haven't had for a while? We're due a bit of drama.
We certainly are. Due a bit of drama in a Formula One weekend is always nice. At least we know that the weather's going to be pretty steady and we're not going to have massive downpours this weekend. Although that could be famous last words, couldn't it? But yeah, so the race happening this Sunday evening, 7 o'clock. Enjoy it. And we'll be back here on the podcast next week to review it all from the Mexican Grand Prix.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.